From Hollywood, the Sweeney and March program.
I'm Bob Sweeney. I have a driver's license.
I'm Hal March. I have an operator's license.
He took out my tonsils last week.
Bob, please.
The Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present the Sweeney and March program, starring the young comedy stylists Bob Sweeney and Hal March, with the music of Lud Gluskin and his orchestra, and featuring songs of the Sweeney and March Choral Society. I'm Bob Lamont. Once again, it's time for Bob Sweeney and Hal March, the two Rover boys who became comedians. At the moment, it is morning in Hollywood, and Hal is alone in the Sweeney and March office at the CBS building. He's working on the script for their next broadcast.
Let's see now. I want to start the script off right. Only one sure way to get the audience's rapt attention. I'll write myself the first line. Huh? I say, No, that's dirty. There. That's my line, now Bob's line. Bob says, Why? Yeah, that's a nice line for Bob. May not get him a laugh, but it has a nice feel to it. I wonder where the devil he is, anyway. Oh, well.
Oh, hi, Al.
Oh, you finally got here.
Yeah.
Where have you been? Why are you late, Bob? You're always late. I work hard and you're late. Where have you been? Why are you late?
I did it on purpose.
Excuses. Always excuses. Here I'm trying to get the script out, writing wonderful things for you to say, and you come in late.
Well, on my way to the studio, I stopped and I got a surprise for you, Al. I'm holding it behind my back. Now, guess what it is.
Now, what it is?
Guess what it is. That's how you say guess in Egyptian.
Oh, for goodness sakes, Bob.
Well, you speak the language, too, huh?
No, that's Armenian.
Oh. Come on, Hal, please guess, huh?
Well, a crocodile.
Oh, no, but you're getting warm.
A stuffed dinosaur with blue eyes and a friendly smile?
You're hot, Hal, you're hot. It's a punchboard.
Punchboard. Of course, I should have known. Punchboard, crocodile, dinosaur. Yeah, that all connects.
And rhymes, too.
Bob, where did you get a punchboard?
I won it. On a punchboard.
What do you want with a punchboard?
Well, you see all the little holes in it?
Yeah.
Well, I have a lot of friends who smoke long, thin cigars, and that'll make a dandy group ashtray.
Now, don't be ridiculous, Bob. You don't use a punchboard for an ashtray. It's a device to make money. It's a crooked, unscrupulous scheme to get rich. It's a dirty, low way to easy wealth. Any man who would take funds is the rottenest money-making... It's a dishonest... It's no use, Bob. I can't fight it. Let's sell some chances.
Can we make some money on it, Hal?
Can we make money? Bob, there are 360 chances on this board. Now... If we sell them for a dollar each...
That's $247.
Right. Now, we have to offer an attractive prize.
Well, how about a set of Oshkosh luggage? It's... Oh, really? It's 12 for going to Oshkosh.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, let's hide, Hal. That might be Charlie Evans.
I don't know anyone named Charlie Evans.
Well, neither do I.
Well, why should we hide?
I'm uncomfortable around strangers.
Oh, for goodness sakes. But come in.
I'm Mountain Water Matthew. I brought you a new bottle of Mountain Water. I'll put it on the cooler in the corner.
Yeah, that's fine, Matthew. Just put the bottle right over there. Now, let's see, Bob.
If you boys got weak teeth, this Mountain Water is just the thing. You don't have to chew it.
Yeah, Matthew, your Mountain Water's fine. Now, Bob...
I'm healthy from drinking my Mountain Water. I'm strong enough to kill a bear.
Boy, oh boy. How many bears have you killed, Matthew?
None that frighten me. I'll bring you a bottle of Mountain Water every week. Carry it up the mountain and fill it just for you. That's my work. That's my life. And you're my only customers.
Well, but the water only costs 35 cents a week. How can you live on 35 cents a week? How do you buy food?
Oh, eat well. You see, I live in the mountains with my little friends, the birds and animals.
Yeah, but how can you afford food on 35 cents a week?
Every day I live with one less little friend.
Yummy. Now, Bob, if we're going to sell any chances to our friends on this punch board, we'll have to offer a worthwhile prize.
Yeah, well, do you think
the mountain water's on the cooler. And remember, boys, this mountain water will rid your headaches, colds, heartburn, falling hair, athlete's foot, eye strain, spotted fever, the grip, and gingivitis.
But what about hiccups? Is it good for hiccups?
What do you think this stuff is? A cure-all?
He's a nice fellow. He'd make a good fire hydrant.
Yeah. Well, never mind about him, Bob. Now, the way to operate this punch board and to have a lot of satisfied customers is to have a good, solid, illegal slant on it.
It ought to be good and illegal because we don't want to get in any trouble.
Right. Now, in case this thing gets into the courts, we've got to have one winning number and a prize of, say, $10. Oh. Now, here's the kicker, Bob. After we sell 359 chances, all of which lose, I sell the remaining chance to you.
No, thanks, Hal. I'd just as soon not participate.
Why not?
Well, I understand these things are fixed.
Trust me, Bob. Now, just so you and I will know the winner, we'll punch out this chance right in the middle.
All right. There.
And the number is 17,467.
That's my lucky number.
Yeah.
That's my lucky number!
Yeah. Now we... you're not going to win much with that. Now we put it back in the little hole.
I think this audience is a little hard of hearing.
School it over so no one will ever know. Now we write at the top of the board... see, what we do, Bob, is we put it back in the hole, smooth it over so no one will ever know.
I see.
That's in case you're right about them being hard of hearing. Now, we write at the top of the board, winner is 17,467. Now, only you and I know where the winning number is.
Yeah.
Well, shall we go down to the lobby and bilk a few bystanders?
Sounds fair.
Good. Oh, I can hardly... well, let's take the elevator down. Maybe we'll sell a chance to Junie, the elevator girl.
Well, she'll jump at the chance, boy. I'll ring for the elevator.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Oh, I can see all that dough.
Yeah.
And buy myself a few pairs of those new turtleneck jockey shorts.
Here's the elevator, Hal.
Oh, fine.
Going down. Oh, hello, Mr. Sweeney. Mr. Marsh.
Hello, Junie. Get in, Bob. Well, what's new with you, Junie? I've been going to...
Nothing much, Mr. Marsh.
Oh.
Oh, I got a punch board, Junie. I want
a punch board.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like to take a chance? It only costs.
What's a punch board?
It's a board you punch. If you punch.
That's very cruel.
Never mind, Junie. We'll get out here at the lobby. Come on, Bob. Bye, Junie.
Bye, Junie.
Oh, that girl drive you crazy.
I wonder who we can sell the first chance to, Hal.
Oh, don't worry, Bob. There'll be plenty of...
Well, what do you say we go over to the announcer's lounge, Hal, and sell some chances? There's always a lot of guys over there.
Announcer's lounge? Sounds like a fine idea, Bob.
All right.
Uh-oh. Look, there's our orchestra leader, Lud Gluskin.
Well, maybe we can sell him a chance.
Out of the question, Bob. That miser's got millions of dollars, but he won't spend a cent.
Well, Hal Gluskin has a very good reason for not spending his money.
Oh, yeah? What?
He's stingy.
Well, here he comes, Bob. Be nice to him. Always humble yourself before money. Hiya, Lud. You sure look dapper today. Oh, that's a very sporty straw hat, Lud. Say,
I don't lend money to nobody.
Hiya, Lud. Went to the opera last night. Heard your sister sing Cavalleria Rusticana. Nice voice.
I don't lend money to nobody.
Well, we got a punch board.
Forget it, Bob. Forget it. Let him go. Cheap miser. That straw hat's no good. He didn't squeeze all the coke out of the straws.
His sister didn't sing Cavalleria Rusticana so hot.
Wait just a minute, Bob.
Yeah. I think they're plugged in their acoustic cards.
What were you going to say?
I said your sister didn't sing Cavalleria Rusticana so hot. You couldn't understand a word she said.
Oh, forget him, Bob. Let's go over to the announcer's lounge, like you said, and sell some chances on the
punch.
Yeah,
that's the longest warm-up I was ever in.
Your attention, please.
Uh-oh, it's a program announcer.
Yeah, let's listen to that.
Attention, Mrs. Frank Fox. Attention, Mrs. Frank Fox. Your husband just phoned. Congratulations. You are the mother of a baby girl. Please go to the hospital as soon as you finish your appearance on It Couldn't Happen, But It Did.
Come on, Hal. Let's get over to the announcer's lounge, huh?
Yeah, come on.
All right.
It's right around the corner. Oh, no.
What's the matter, Hal?
There's our announcer, Bob Lamond, coming out of the lounge. What a conceited pup he is. He thinks he's so good-looking.
Well, he is handsome.
Well, sure, he's handsome. Is that anything to be conceited about? I'm handsomer than he is. I'm much broader, with a gorgeous smile, big mysterious eyes, lovely hair, muscles all over the place, and women love me. And am I conceited?
Well, I don't...
Now, look, Bob, I'm more the executive type, much above lowly selling, so why don't you go over and sell old Conceited there a chance on the punch board?
Oh, I can't sell chances. What'll I say? I don't know what to say.
It's very simple, Bob. If he asks a logical question, give him a logical answer. Now, go get him, Bob.
I'll give a real fleece.
Attaboy, get him.
Hello, Mr. Lamond.
Hello, Sweeney.
Do you feel lucky today?
Yeah, why?
You want to buy a chance on a punch board for a dollar? It's for the Poor Actors Fund.
Oh, sure. That's a good fund.
You speak Armenian too, huh? Well, this poor actor we had in mind was Hal March.
Okay, what's the prize?
It's $10. If you got the winning number, it's $17,467.
Hey, that's nice. Which one is it?
Is that one right in the middle there? The guy who punches, that's the winner.
All right. There we are. I punched it.
Hey, you're the winner, and here's $10.
Oh, thanks. See you later, Sweeney.
Okay, better luck next time. Hey, Hal, Lamond just won the $10.
He won?
Yeah.
Bob, how did he get the winning number?
Oh, remember, you told me if he asked a logical question to give him a logical answer?
What did he ask you?
Well, he asked me which one was the winner, and I told him.
That's logical. Oh, come on, Bob.
Well, where are we going?
There's a school of salmon heading up the river. I want to hurry and enroll.
The choral group sings Adobe Hacienda.
In my adobe hacienda, there's a touch of Mexico. Lovelier than orchids, blooming in the patio.
Soft desert stars and the strum of guitars make every evening seem so sweet.
In my adobe hacienda, life and love are more complete. I got an adobe hacienda way up in the western hills, nothing but whippoorwills.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have ever wondered what two Rover boys look like when their loaded punch board backfires on them, just listen to Bob and Hal, the dejected operators of a once flourishing illegal pinch board.
Hal, there isn't much money in gambling, is there?
Not the way we run it and the way he says it. Gambling is for the... Gambling is for the big-time gamblers, Bob.
Boy, imagine us being two big gamblers, huh?
Bob, we could be big-time gamblers.
Oh, no, we couldn't. How? That takes a lot of money. Maybe even $7 or $9 almost.
$7 or $9?
Yeah.
Forget it, son. Here's $1,000,000 for you.
Oh, thank you, Al. Thank you.
Forget it, my boy. And if you want to double your money, just follow me.
Is the story of Las Vegas, Nevada. And what is even funnier than that, this is the story of gambling. Oh, that's funny. Yes, it is. Yes, this is Las Vegas, Nevada, the gambling center of the United States, the home of the one-armed bandit, the Shangri-La of roulette and blackjack, a story that may remind you older folks of the story of the two Mrs. Carroll. The story of Mrs. Carroll. The story of Homer Carroll, widower. Yes, this is the story of Las Vegas, Nevada, where life itself is a gamble 26 hours a day, where a firm shake of a cylindrical container means the difference between a good milkshake and a lumpy one. Where people gamble from the minute they get up in the morning until they shoot themselves in the evening. Where citizens will bet at the drop of a hat because betting is in their blood. And on any day, on any street in Las Vegas, you might overhear two ordinary citizens say...
Hiya, George.
I bet you ain't.
This is the story of Las Vegas, Nevada, the gambling center of the United States. A haven for the big-time gamblers from the Eastern Syndicates. Big-time gamblers like Peter Van Arsdale Jr., Roger DeWinter III, and Dirty Rudy McPherson of the Pittsburgh Dirties. These are but a few of the big-time gamblers, to say nothing of the two men most feared by the croupiers of the roulette tables, Penny Ante-March and Thanks-A-Million Sweeney. Yes, Penny Ante-March, who said...
I'm the kind of a guy who'll bet $1,000,000 on anything you want to name. Anything, you understand? Anything. And I'll bet you $1,000,000 because I'm the kind of a guy who likes to bet. I'm a bettor, and I'll bet on anything. And if you don't believe me, I'll bet you.
And there is his equally free spending partner, Thanks-A-Million Sweeney, one of the biggest of the big-time gamblers, the kind of guy who doesn't give up for money. And would just as soon walk up to a gambling table and say...
I'll take one of the penny chips, please.
So then, this is the story of how Sweeney and March invaded Las Vegas, Nevada. As we find them now, these two hearty spendthrifts are just entering the Sadie Singleton Gambling Casino.
Well, Sweeney, let's get into Sadie Singleton's joint and do a little gambling.
Okay.
Incidentally, Sweeney, what kind of a gal is this Sadie Singleton?
Well, all I know is she's one of the fairest, most honest women I ever met.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. She runs the squarest roulette wheel in Las Vegas.
Ah, sounds pretty good to me.
They're way ahead of us now. Wait a minute. What was that again?
Sounds pretty good to me.
And believe me, you ain't never played roulette until you played it on a square wheel. Now!
This Sadie's really a swell gal.
Oh, they don't come any finer. She's as sweet as they make them. The kind you like to bring home to mother.
Well, if she's the kind you can bring home to mother, that's good enough for me. Let's go on in. You see Sadie, sweetie?
No, I don't see her yet. Oh, there.
Where?
She is. There.
Where?
Over there. Under the roulette table, lying in the sawdust with a bare midriff and slacks. She's knitting a green eye shade with pool cues.
Oh. Call to her. See if she remembers you.
Okay. Hey, Sadie!
Well, I'll be a dirt well, doggone! Pass on your read if you ain't a sight for sore eyes!
Isn't she sweet?
Yes, sir. Just the type you can bring home to mother. If Mom's doing a 20-year stretch at the Hatchapi for rolling drunks in the May Day parade...
Come on, let's make our way through the crowd, huh?
Yeah, let's play a little roulette. I feel lucky tonight.
Come on.
Now, watch it, Sweeney. Look out for those fellows over there by the bar.
Where?
By the bar there. Looks like they've been drinking a little bit.
Hey, Eddie, look at me.
Yeah?
I'm a bourbon and soda. I'm a bourbon and soda, see? I'm sitting on the bar.
I love bourbon and soda.
That's pretty good, Bert. But look at me. I'm a man of distinction, see? I'm a man of distinction, and I drink bourbon and soda.
Eddie! No, no, Eddie! Eddie, don't! Please, Eddie! No! No! Don't!
Hiya, Sadie, what do you say?
Sadie's table right over there.
Yeah, what do you say, Sadie? How are you?
Evening, gentlemen. I feel a little lucky tonight, do you?
Sadie, I never felt better in my life. I feel like $1 million. And I think I might break the bank tonight because I've never felt better in my life.
Drop dead.
Well, Sadie asked me...
Shut up! Isn't she sweet?
Can't we play some bets, Sadie, before you lose your voice?
Just as soon as I spin the wheel for this gent here. And I'm sorry, sir. It's 13 on the red, and that washes you out.
Well, you've got my shirt and my coat and my trousers and my shoes. Gosh, I'd certainly like to take just one more crack at it.
Well, what can you put up?
Well, all I've got is what I'm wearing.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, buddy. There's no resale value on an elk's tooth. Now get your hat and blow.
Where is my hat?
Over there by that gent standing next to you.
Pardon me. Would you pass the hat, please?
I don't make contributions to nobody.
All right, gentlemen, place your bets.
Mr. March is going to do all the betting for us.
That's right, Sadie, and I'm going to place the entire bankroll on one spin of the wheel. $850,000... and Mr. Sweeney's weekly 5220 check. And the entire sum goes on number 18. On the red.
Let her spin, Sadie.
And it's number 3 on the black. And there's a bus leaving in 20 minutes for the Pasadena Suicide Bridge.
Wait a minute, Sadie. I'm not finished yet.
Put up a heap or take a leap. One of the two.
Let me see what I've got here now. All I've got are my clothes and my little partner, Sweeney, here. Sweeney. Sweeney!
Oh, no!
Get up on the table and sit on 14 in the red.
Yes, sir.
What's the matter, Sweeney?
These chips tickle.
The bet's on, and it's 14 on the red.
All right, Sadie Singleton, spin the wheel.
And it's number 11 on the black, and Sweeney's mine.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, and next week from Las Vegas, Nevada, CBS will present the Sweeney and Sadie Singleton Show.
I'm Bob Sweeney. I got a new partner.
I'm Sadie Singleton, and I'm his new partner.
Where's Hal? Oh.
Next week, same time, same station, Columbia and its affiliated stations will present another Sweeney and March program with Led Zeppelin's Orchestra and the Sweeney and March Choral Group. Here now to say goodnight are Bob and Hal.
Well, Bob, is there anyone you want to say goodnight to?
Yeah, Hal, I'd like to say goodnight to the goat that leads all the sheep up the ramp in the Chicago stockyards.
Well, go ahead.
Good night, you little monster.
Good night, everybody else.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.